Imagine, for just a second, that you are the CEO of a major global airline,
Okay.
and you've just authorized tens of millions of dollars to buy, the absolute most state-of-the-art next-generation jet engines on the market.
Right, the really shiny, highly efficient ones.
Exactly. And they are sitting out there on the tarmac right now, gleaming. They're packed with this potential to make your fleet vastly faster, way more fuel efficient.
Sounds like a massive win.
Right. But then you look out the window and you realize there's a massive problem. Like, nobody in your entire maintenance organization actually knows how to attach these new engines to your existing older planes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a disaster.
Right. And even if they miraculously, bolted them on somehow, none of your pilots have actually been trained on the new cockpit controls required to fly with them.
I mean, it's the ultimate executive nightmare, isn't it? You've acquired this incredibly powerful asset, but you completely lack the operational capability to actually apply it. So, the engines are just incredibly expensive lawn ornaments at that point.
Exactly. And that exact scenario is what is happening in the world of enterprise AI right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Organizations are just, hoarding AI software licenses. They're buying up access to the most advanced models, but they are completely stalled on the runway. They can't figure out how to actually attach the AI to their real business operations.
Yeah, they're stuck.
So today we're doing a deep dive to guide you through something called AI workflow readiness. We are going to explore why the enterprise AI market is drastically pivoting, like away from simply buying software and moving towards something much more hands-on.
Heavily engineered, really.
Yeah, and frankly, a lot more realistic.
And we have a really fantastic stack of sources to draw from today to understand the mechanics of this shift. We're looking at the Autodesk 2026 AI Jobs Report, a pretty sweeping global workplace study from JLL, and some truly massive structural investment announcements from tech giants.
Right, specifically AWS, Capgemini, and Cognizant.
Exactly. Plus, we're bringing in these tactical implementation frameworks from industry specialists like Structured Layer to really see how this transition plays out on the ground.
Because our mission for this deep dive is to decode why the most valuable AI skill in the market right now isn't coding the models themselves, it's actually deploying them into messy real-world environments.
Right.
And we're going to give you a concrete playbook for successfully running an AI workflow pilot in your own organization. To do that, we're going to use the highly complex, very paper-heavy construction industry as our ultimate testing ground.
Because, I mean, if you can make AI work there, you can make it work anywhere.
Exactly.
The construction industry is just the perfect lens for this. Because to understand where enterprise AI adoption is failing and where it's actually succeeding, we have to look at the talent.
Right.
If we look at who these companies are frantically trying to hire right now, it tells us exactly where the bottlenecks are.
Okay, let's unpack this because the Autodesk 2026 AI Jobs Report paints a really specific picture. They track what they call design and make industries.
So that's architecture, engineering, construction, manufacturing.
Right. And across those specific sectors, AI-related roles have surged by 147% in just 2 years.
Wow.
And they grew another 33% in just the last year alone.
I mean, that is a staggering trajectory for industries that traditionally operate on, very tight margins and are notoriously cautious about adopting bleeding-edge digital tools.
Right, but it's the type of roles they're hiring for that really caught my attention. Like, the postings for AI consultants grew by 90%.
Yeah.
But when you look at the actual skills entering the most demanded list, they aren't Python developers. They aren't machine learning architects. The most demanded skills right now are operations and training.
Which perfectly aligns with the behavioral data we're seeing from JLL's Global Workplace Study.
Oh, right, the leadership survey.
Yeah, so they surveyed senior leaders globally, and 60% of them explicitly expect AI to reinvent roles, not just replace human headcount.
That's a huge distinction. Reinvent, not replace.
Exactly. What JLL found is that the organizations furthest along in their AI maturity are actually the ones anticipating workforce growth.
Wait, really? Growth.
Yes, they are investing heavily in full-time and entry-level talent specifically to manage, govern, and audit these new AI systems.
Okay, so going back to our jet engine analogy,
Yep.
when the generative AI boom first started, everyone sort of assumed the massive skills gap meant we had this desperate need for data scientists,
We
right?
thought we needed thousands of mechanics to build the engine from scratch.
Exactly. But what this Autodesk and JLL data is showing us is that the real gap isn't mechanics, it's driving instructors.
Oh, I love that.
Right? Like, we need people who can teach the rest of the company how to safely and effectively steer the vehicle now that the engine is already built.
That framing captures the shift perfectly. The underlying realization these companies are having is that value isn't created by the model itself.
Right.
The industry is shifting away from people who merely build AI toward people who can apply, govern, and scale it inside actual existing industry workflows.
So it's about context.
Exactly. If you take a commercial construction firm, their immediate gap isn't about training a proprietary large language model. Their gap is about redesigning the responsibilities of their estimating team.
Right. They need to figure out how to use it day to day.
Yeah, it's about figuring out how to preserve a human project manager's professional judgment, you know, while letting the AI remove the repetitive work of cross-referencing 500 pages of subcontractor bids.
Because if the AI makes a mistake on a commercial build, you don't just get a funny response in a chat window, right? You order the wrong grade of steel and suddenly the building isn't up to code.
Precisely. The risk profile is intensely physical and financial. So you need teams with enough operational capability to not just click generate, but to actually validate the output, catch the hallucinations, and improve the results over time. You're having to fundamentally reinvent the daily workflow of your employees.
So if that's the case, if end user companies are suddenly realizing they need operations and training to reinvent workflows rather than pure coding, how are the massive tech vendors responding?
That is the big question.
Because for the last few years, the big vendors have been perfectly happy to just sell software licenses by the thousands and walk away.
Well, they're responding by following the friction. The vendors know that if their software sits completely unused, those licenses will eventually get canceled. And right now, all the friction is in deployment.
The sources show a massive pivot in how these tech giants are structuring their own businesses, don't they? Like AWS, Amazon Web Services, they just committed $1 billion to a brand new organization.
Yeah, they're calling it Forward Deployed Engineering.
$1 billion. And Cognizant just launched a dedicated EME AI unit built entirely on a deployment model they call Foundation to accelerate, to transform.
But it's all about physically moving customers from isolated pilots into actual integrated production.
And Capgemini is reporting the exact same shift in buyer behavior. They note that enterprise customers are no longer funding pure AI experimentation. They're funding what Capgemini calls AI readiness and modernization initiatives.
Because the enterprise buyers have realized that the real barriers to AI adoption aren't the AI models at all.
No.
No, the barriers are fragmented internal systems and terrible data hygiene.
Okay, wait, let me push back here. Wait, companies already have project management software, right? They have Microsoft 365, Google Workspace, specialized cloud dashboards.
Yeah, they have a lot of tools.
So why are we acting like deployment is this insurmountable hurdle? Can't a mid-sized firm just, you know, turn on the enterprise AI features that Microsoft or Google are already rolling out and just let the AI index their existing files?
Well, what's fascinating here is that that is the exact trap that stalls out so many enterprise AI initiatives.
Really? Just turning it on?
Yeah. If we connect this to the reality of how these businesses actually operate day to day, turning on an AI feature across your existing unorganized data does not solve your operational problems.
Oh, because the data is a mess.
Exactly. Think about the foundation of most legacy companies. It's made up of disconnected PDFs saved with inconsistent file names, manual spreadsheets that five different people edit locally, browser portals that don't talk to each other.
It was a nightmare.
If you plug a powerful AI into that environment, you don't get streamlined efficiency. You just automate the chaos.
Okay, so if I ask the AI to summarize the budget for a project, and the system has access to like five different spreadsheets labeled Final Budget Version 2.
It has no idea which one is actually the truth.
Right. It just confidently gives me an answer based on a mess.
And it does it in seconds, making the mess happen much faster. Enterprise buyers are having a collective epiphany about this right now. They're realizing they don't actually have an AI problem.
They have a deep-seated implementation problem.
Exactly. And because of that, they are completely abandoning the traditional software purchasing model of just buying a license and handing out logins. They're shifting heavily in favor of embedded deployment partnerships.
Meaning they need specialized help.
Yes, they need highly specialized teams to come in, define the data hierarchy, fix the disconnected documents, and untangle the manual approval chains before the AI can even do its job safely.
Okay, so if dropping off-the-shelf AI into a messy server just automates chaos, how does this AWS billion-dollar role actually fix it? What exactly is this forward-deployed engineering model?
Well, to understand the solution, we first need to clearly define the role. Based on the sources, a forward-deployed AI engineer is not a prompt engineer.
Right, they aren't just writing text prompts.
No. And they aren't sitting at some headquarters tweaking the underlying code of a large language model to make it slightly faster either. A forward-deployed engineer is an accountable technical lead who physically or virtually embeds directly with the customer's operational teams.
So they're actually sitting down with the commercial property managers or the actual estimating teams on the ground and watching how they work.
Yes, they are watching how the team handles real, chaotic, everyday business data. Because historically, construction AI initiatives fail at a very specific point.
Which is?
The gap between the demo and the daily grind.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because we've all seen those demos, right?
Oh, definitely.
The vendor shows the software seamlessly extracting data from a complex architectural blueprint in 2 seconds. It looks like absolute magic.
Flawless.
The executives are wowed. They sign the massive check. But then 6 months later, no one on the ground is actually using it. Why? What actually breaks when you try to use it on a random Tuesday morning?
Context, governance, and exceptions break. In the sales demo, the data was perfectly clean and formatted. In reality, on a Tuesday morning, a subcontractor submits a bid as a poorly scanned image, pasted inside a PDF with handwritten notes in the margins.
Right, and the off-the-shelf AI can't read it.
Exactly. Furthermore, no one took the time to define which server folder actually holds the authoritative documents. No one properly connected the legacy accounting system to the new AI tool.
And what about security?
Right. No one defined the security permissions. Like, who is even allowed to see these financial bids in the first place?
And if the AI extracts the wrong number from that handwritten note on the PDF?
Who is responsible?
Yeah.
Exactly. No one assigned who is legally or operationally responsible for reviewing the AI's output before it goes to the client. And critically, no one built a system for handling exceptions when the AI inevitably gets confused.
So what you're describing is that AI implementation is actually an engineering problem. It's like structural engineering for data workflows.
That is the core shift. AWS investing $1 billion and firms like Structured Layer pioneering this embedded model in the construction space, they are validating a completely new reality.
Buyers don't want to log into a new portal anymore.
No, they need an accountable partner to step directly into their real, messy operating environment. They need someone to understand a broken manual workflow, build the custom AI integration to fix that specific bottleneck, define the human controls around it, and then ultimately transfer ownership of that newly engineered working system back to the client.
Wow, so it's not a vendor selling a product, it's a partner building a new organizational capability.
Exactly.
But if you are an IT director or a regional manager listening to this right now, you probably don't have $1 billion to build a forward deployed engineering department.
Probably not.
So how is a leader supposed to untangle their own mess and actually execute this?
Well, you start by ignoring the instinct to automate your entire business at once.
Stop trying to boil the ocean.
Right. You execute a highly bounded, highly controlled workflow pilot. You don't try to transform the whole company. You try to transform one single process.
And the sources give us a highly tactical roadmap for this. Structured Layer provides a really rigorous playbook they call the Forward Deployed AI Workflow Assessment and Implementation Path.
Yes.
It moves through 4 clear phases, right? Workflow assessment, operating layer blueprint, bounded pilot, and implementation. Let's trace how this would actually look using a real construction scenario rather than just listing the steps out.
Good idea.
Say I run a construction firm and I want AI to handle the intake of subcontractor quotes. Where do I even begin?
You begin with a workflow assessment, which means you identify that one high-value workflow and aggressively map its constraints. Mm-hmm. You don't just say, broadly, AI will handle quotes. You ask, who actually owns the quote process today?
Right. If an email comes in with 5 different PDF attachments from a plumber, who reads it?
Exactly. Because the friction there is that in a massive corporation, responsibility is often diffused. 3 different people might touch that email before it even gets filed.
Which is why you have to map the human constraints before the digital ones.
Yes. If the AI is going to review a bid document and extract the total cost, whose name is legally on the line if the AI extracts the wrong number?
You have to define the human owner.
You have to. Mm-hmm. Then step 3, you have to connect the systems and records to establish a single source of truth.
Right. Going back to the automating chaos problem, if I have a server full of old templates and an outdated pricing sheets, the AI is going to pull from those and just confidently give me the wrong information.
So in this phase, you are physically doing the data hygiene. You are telling the system, only look at this specific secured folder for 2026 pricing guidelines. Ignore everything else.
You're connecting the AI to reality.
Exactly.
That leads directly into designing the boundaries, which the playbook calls the operating layer blueprint. What exactly is an operating layer blueprint?
An operating layer blueprint is essentially a map of human to AI handoffs. It defines the exact boundaries of where the AI operates autonomously, where it must pause and ask for human approval, and what happens when it fails.
So it's literally the architectural drawing of the workflow itself.
Spot on.
But how does a leader know what the AI should actually do within that blueprint?
By making what Structured Layer calls a use, compose, or build decision.
Okay, break that down for us.
This is a crucial concept. As you design the workflow, you look at each step and decide how to solve it technically. Use means you can just use an off-the-shelf AI tool. So maybe using a standard AI to just summarize the text of an email.
Okay, pretty simple.
Compose means you string different APIs together to create a custom workflow. For example, an AI extracts the pricing data from PDF and then automatically pushes that data into your legacy accounting software via an API.
Oh, I see. And build.
Build means the problem is so incredibly unique to your company that you actually need to train or fine-tune a custom model from scratch.
I imagine that's pretty rare.
Very rare and very expensive. Most companies think they need to build, but a forward deployed engineer will usually show them how to compose existing tools to solve the problem much faster and cheaper.
So in our quote intake scenario, the AI receives the email, it uses a standard model to extract the data, it composes an action to push it to a dashboard, but the operating layer blueprint dictates that it cannot automatically approve the quote.
Right. It must ping a human project manager for final sign-off.
Exactly. You are designing the fail-safes before you flip the switch. You're explicitly defining the exceptions. Like, if the AI encounters a weirdly formatted invoice it hasn't seen before, the blueprint dictates the recovery steps.
Yes. It routes the invoice to a human exception queue, rather than just guessing and making a mistake.
Which brings us to the final phase, assessing training gaps and handing over ownership. Because the embedded partner, you know, that forward deployed engineer, they aren't going to stay on your payroll forever.
No, they eventually leave. The ultimate goal of this entire playbook isn't just to deliver a piece of working software. The goal is delivering a production-ready operating workflow where the client's internal team actually knows how to run it, audit it, and improve it independently.
So what does this all mean? It circles perfectly back to the JLL data, right?
Absolutely. The most mature organizations are investing in operations and training talent because AI readiness is a workforce capability.
It is not an IT purchase.
It requires a fundamental shift in perspective. Enterprise AI has officially moved past the demo phase. The magic tricks of just chatting with a PDF don't sell anymore because they don't actually solve underlying business problems.
The future really belongs to forward deployed engineers who can untangle the mess of legacy systems. And it belongs to leaders who understand that AI success requires rolling up your sleeves, identifying single workflows, rigorously managing human approvals, and treating AI implementation as a rigorous engineering challenge.
We know from all these sources that successful AI projects aren't defined by the sophistication of the model. They are defined by whether your frontline team is actually using them to do their jobs better 6 months later.
Right.
So it leaves leaders with a very stark question to ponder. If your organization is currently stockpiling AI software licenses without actively redesigning a single underlying workflow, are you actually preparing for the future, or are you just buying very expensive digital paperweights?
Wow. Going right back to those gleaming jet engines sitting on the tarmac, just waiting for a driving instructor to teach the mechanics how to adapt them to the wings. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the sources. We hope this playbook helps you navigate your own AI workflow readiness. And as always, keep questioning the information around you.